ஸ்ரேயான் ஸ்வதர்மோ விகுணகா பரதர்மா சுனுஷ்டிதாத் ஸ்வதர்மே நிதனம் ஸ்ரேயகா பரதர்மோ பயாவகா. We saw that ஸ்லோகம். And then we also found out the question with Arjuna wondered why, even though people want to follow all these nice things like anushtitam of dharma and everything, still people are not able to do that. Anichchanapi, even though he does not want to do evil, some force still pushes him to do wrong things. What is that force that is responsible for people to go in the wrong direction, even though they may not want to go to wrong direction? Everybody wants to be good. Everybody wants to be loved by everybody else. Nobody wants somebody to hate us. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to do good things only. But still, some force is forcing them to get out of this cycle and then go towards wrong directions. What is that force that is responsible for people to resort to evil things? That is the question Arjuna asked, for which Krishna is now replying today. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha.
Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha. Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha.
Rajo Guna Samudbhavah.
Rajo Guna Samudbhavah.
ரஜோகுணசமுத்பவஹ
காம ஏஷ க்ரோத ஏஷ ரஜோகுணசமுத்பவஹ காம ஏஷ க்ரோத ஏஷ ரஜோகுணசமுத்பவஹ
மஹாசனோ மஹாபாப்மா
மஹாசனோ மஹாபாப்மா மஹாசனோ மஹாபாப்மா
ஏனமிஹ வைரிணம் மஹாசனோ மஹாபாப்மா வித்யேனமிக வைரிணம்
மஹாசனோ மஹாபாப்மா வித்யேனமிக வைரிணம் மஹாசனோ மஹாபாப்மா வித்யேனமிக வைரிணம்.
சோ அர்ஜுனா சேஸ் பலாதிவ நியோஜிதஹ, இட் லுக்ஸ் ஆஸ் தோ திஸ் பர்சன் இஸ் ஃபோர்சிபிலி எங்கேஜ்ட் டு டு ஈவில் திங்ஸ். அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் தட் ஃபோர்ஸ் ரெஸ்பான்சிபிள் ஃபார் டூயிங் தட்? And for which Krishna has already answered this question earlier. Indriyasya, indriyasyarthe, ragadveshav vyavasthitav, tayorna vashamagachet, tauhyasya, paripantinav. There he already concluded that everybody has got certain ragadveshas, likes and dislikes. Only thing is what? One should not give freedom to ragadveshas. Everybody has got that. Ragadvesha should not control the person, but we should be able to control Ragadvesha. We should keep Ragadvesha under our control. Because Krishna said, if Ragadvesha are allowed to rule, then what will they do? Paripantinav. They are like robbers. This Paripantinav, we already have seen this. They are like robbers. They are like waylayers. They will take away the wealth of what? Vivekaha. The discriminative ability. When Ragadvesha comes, it takes away my Viveka Shakti, my discriminative power, it takes away. When discrimination is gone, what does it mean? Dharma itself is gone. I do not know what is right, I do not know what is wrong, I do not know what is Dharma, I do not know what is Adharma. So once the discriminative ability is gone, Dharma, Adharma, Viveka is gone, one can follow Dharma only when what? When Buddhi is correct. When buddhi is only stable and when it is functioning correctly only, one can follow dharma. Always dharma requires buddhi, and buddhi requires what? Sattva guna. So unless there is sattvic ability in a person, sattva guna in a person, buddhi will not function properly. So when the sattvic buddhi is there, then the discriminative buddhi is there, the ability to discriminate, the viveka shakti is there, then dharma can be followed. So when dharma is, when these people don't have it, dharma cannot be followed. It is impossible. And ragadvesha, what it does? Ragadvesha will suppress sattva guna. The sattvic ability in a person will be suppressed by ragadvesha. Therefore, what is that force? Krishna has already answered. Ragadvesha is that force. The ragadvesha are like two gundas. They are like two rakshasas, two gundas. They are powerful interior terrorists. These Ragadvesha, powerful interior terrorists. Actually, if you, Puranas, if you say, if you take all Puranas, they always bring the Rakshasas in pairs. Nothing is alone. Always they will be in pair. Ravana, Kumbhakarna, always pair only. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, again pairs. Shishupala, Dandavakra, and then Subhagu, Maricha, all these people are all in pairs. Chanda, Munda, Shumba, Nishumba, always in pairs. Pairs is Ragadvesha. All these Rakshasas are nothing but Ragadvesha. They are only Ragadveshas, so they come in pair, indicating they are nothing but Ragadveshas only. In Puranas, they are all portrayed as Rakshasas. So, what these Rakshasa pairs, what do they do normally? When Vishwamitra wants to do the Yajna, Vishwamitra is an austere person, he wants to get a dharmic life. So he wants to do Yajna. And when he wants to do this Yajna, who wants to spoil it? This Maricha wants to spoil it. So Maricha and Subhagu, they want to spoil that Yajna. So everyone is, all of us are like Vishwamitra, at least in anger we are all like Vishwamitra. We also want to do good things only, but for every one of us, for whenever we want to try to do something austere, something dharmic, then this Ragadvesha, two Rakshasas come and try to betray us from following that. So the same way, when you know, when Vishwamitra wanted to against Subhagu and Maricha came, so always the answer has been Raga and Dvesha. They are the two forces responsible, force primarily responsible for a person not to be able to follow austere life, dharmic life. But he has already taught this to Arjuna. Arjuna might have missed, perhaps. You know, many times in the class we miss sometimes. Arjuna also might have missed. He went astray somewhere for that small time perhaps. Or he wanted to confirm it. Adi Shankara, once he was nice to Arjuna, he wanted to give that benefit of doubt to Arjuna. Arjuna, yes, he understood already, but he wanted to confirm again. So perhaps that's what he says. He wants to confirm the interpretation. So he was a good student otherwise. That's what Adi Shankara says. So he wants to confirm. So Arjuna asks the question again. Why is it that people do not follow Karma Yoga? That is the basic question. Why people are not following Karma Yoga? Why is it people want to violate that Swadharma and take to Paradharma? They are the one to violate their own Dharma and they want to take to Paradharma. And Krishna also gives the same answer only, whatever he just now gave, Ragadvesha responsible, only he changes the language. He just only puts it in a different language. He changes the terminology here. In the place of Raga, he puts Kama. And in the place of Dvesha, he puts Krodha. So these are the only replacements he does. In place of Raga, he puts Kama. In place of Krodha, Dvesha, he puts Krodha. But they are only synonyms mostly. For example, Raga literally means what? Attachment. Raga is attachment and Kama means what? Desire. Kama is desire, Raga is attachment. And Dvesha is what? Hatred. And Krodha is anger. So they are nearly same things. So Raga Dvesha can be translated into Kama and Krodha. Kama is desire, attachment and Krodha, anger. Even though there is a subtle difference. And actually we should also try to know the subtle difference. When we say there is a subtle difference, we should know what the subtle difference also is. Raga is attachment. Raga is for a thing which is already yours. You already own it. Whatever you already have, you have attachment towards it. That is Raga. Raga is, whereas Kama is for what? Kama is for a thing which is not yours yet. I like to have that. It is not mine yet. I like to have it. That is Kama. Whereas Raga is, I already have it. I am attached to it. So that is the difference between Raga and Kama. So before buying a particular object, whether it is a car or whatever it is, when it is in the showroom, I can have desire. I can have Kama for it. It is in the showroom. No problem at all. Once I got the car, then I am attached to the car. Then that is Raga. Then I will not leave it. Therefore, Kama is for an unpossessed thing, desiring for possession. And Raga is attachment towards a thing which we already possess. That's the subtle difference between these two. But the emotions are same. Whether it is Raga or Kama, emotions are same only. Similarly, Dvesha is what? Dvesha is hatred. So, Dvesha is hatred towards an object which is not mine yet. I do not like it. I don't want that to come into my house. These are all things, Dvesha, for something which we do not possess, which we do not want yet. I don't want it to come to me at all. That is Dvesha. But when that Dushtavastu, the undesirable object, when it comes to me, then what I say? I told you not to come and you have come to me now. So I get angry with you. So this is anger. Dvesha is again for an object which you do not have yet, which you do not want to get to you. And anger is for a thing which has already come to you and you want to get rid of it. So this is the same thing, same emotion again. So dvesha and krodha, they are like hatred and anger, they are almost the same emotionally. Okay. So dvesha is potential anger and kama is potential danger. This anger and that is gay. Moment kama comes, it's a problem. So Krishna says, what is the force which makes a person to be corrupt? Why people behave in a corruptious manner? It is only desire, inordinate desire, selfishness, that is the only thing that drives people to be corrupt. That is the conclusion. So when my own interest, that becomes very, very important, without minding some other people's interest, then I violate all laws. I violate laws of traffic. I want to go fast. So I want to overtake in the wrong direction. I want to go through the shoulder. So all these things I do, I don't want to be behind 10 cars. So go through the shoulder. We see it all the time. And when I want to get a lot of wealth, I don't mind other people being cheated, other people suffering. All those things I don't mind. A little bit of cheating here and there is fine, I think initially. And that becomes a big cheating later. Can be cheating, nations being cheated. You know, what is the corruption going on here? 1,76,000 whatever crores, of, I don't even know how many zeros are there. Such a big, large loss to the exchequer because of the 2G or whatever, the scam. May all these corrupt practices, how it comes, greed. So, ragadvesha can be put in the simple form as selfishness. Very selfish. So, all our problems due to selfishness, I am more important than everyone singly or even collectively. I am more important than everybody else, either singly or collectively. And after, what do normally people do? After I eat the banana, banana is eaten. I don't want the peel to be in my place. Throw it out. Normally in Bombay we have the standard joke. You always, you know, clean up your flat and throw the garbage from the balcony downstairs. Whomsoever walks on his head, doesn't matter. Because garbage has gone out of my house. My house is clean. So that is the attitude for most of the people. So my house must be clean. Rest of the world can go wherever they can go. I don't care. So going beyond selfishness is very, very difficult for most people. Because when I am less and less selfish for the sake of others, sometimes I have to undergo certain pain. If I have to be less than less, if I have to behave in a selfless manner, I may have to undergo some pain, because these are all possible. If I have to sacrifice my own interest for the sake of a larger interest, it requires growing up. Everybody cannot do that. If I have to sacrifice my interest for the sake of the larger interest, my mind should be identified with the larger interest, not like a localized interest, larger interest, and it should be ready to sacrifice any smaller interest that I may have for myself. So to grow out of my body level, at the body level what? I am an individual. At my body level, I am an individual. I should be at the intellectual level. I should get out of the body level. I should go to the intellectual level where I can appreciate the oneness of the society. Society is not separate from me. I am part of the society. I should be able to see the oneness of the society, of the country, of the human race itself, of the entire creation itself. I should be able to have an expanded vision. I should not be still like a well, water in the well. I should have an expanded vision. It is a very, very, very difficult thing for people to achieve. Okay. So Krishna says, kamaha. Kamaha here refers to the selfish desire. Kama refers to selfish desire. Actually, that is supposed to be the eldest son of ignorance. Avidya, for the ignorance, the eldest son is supposed to be kama. What is the order? Avidya is ignorance. Avidya, kama. Kama leads to what? Karma. An action I do because of my desire. I want to possess something, I have to do action. So karma, kama leads to karma. Karma leads to what? Karma palam, the fruit of the action. And karma palam leads to what? Punya babas. Punya babas lead to what? Pleasure and pain, sufferings. Okay. That's what it's, that is sukham dukkham. This is how the cycle goes. So avidya produces kama. Avidya means ignorance, produces kama, and so on. This is how the samsara cycle is derived. Samsara circle is derived. Cycle is essentially divided out of ignorance. So ignorance means what? Self-ignorance. Self, the knowledge about the self. So that is what Krishna says here. Kamaha. Okay, when you say kamaha, desire, desire for what? Desire for, again, two things. Desire for artha. Artha refers to all types of wealth. It is money, it is house, it is possession. All types of wealth is artha. They are all called artha purushartha. Dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Among the four purusharthas, artha refers to wealth. So, this is first purushartha. And the second purushartha is called kama. Kamaha refers to objects of pleasure or bhogaha. Objects of pleasure. So actually here also there is a slight difference. In this shloka, kamayesha krodayesha, in this shloka, kama refers to desire. Kama refers to only desire. But when we enumerate the purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, in the purusharthas, kama actually there does not mean desire, but desirable objects. There is a subtle difference between the kama in the purusharta and the kama that is said in this shloka. In this shloka, kama means desire. In the purushartha, dharma artha, kama moksha, there kama means desirable objects or sense objects of pleasure. That's what it means there. So desire for two things. What are the desire for two things? One is objects of security. That is the desire, that is wealth. Objects of security is wealth. I want to possess more money because I think by money I can be safe. I can have a happy retirement. That's what people think. So objects of security is wealth and objects of pleasure is kama. So these are the two things. Desire for these two things. So these are the two purusharthas on which everyone is naturally attached. Everyone, whether it is animal beings or whatever, they are all naturally attached. This person does not have any desire for either dharma or moksha. Among the four purusharthas, these are the two things most people want. Dharma and moksha, people don't even think dharma, they don't think at all, moksha not at all. So that's what most people are. So this people does not go anywhere near dharma at all, like animals which are behaving out of instinct. All animals behave out of instinct only. All the pursuits are instinctive. They also want comfort. They also want security. They also build a nest. They also have a home. They also store food. All that they also do. There is no difference between these animals and this person when the pursuit is only towards wealth and for all these desires, sense desires. So when this person seeks comfort and security at the cost of dharma, this person is nothing but an animal person only. He can secure wealth, he can secure all the desires, but if it is going to be at the cost of dharma, if they are adharmic, then there is no difference between this person and an animal. So these people are only animal persons only who give importance only to artha and bhoga. That's what Krishna says. So this alone Krishna calls it here as kamaha. Inordinate desire. Kamaha is inordinate desire. Okay. This desire itself is not always in desire form. It comes in so many forms, so many variations it comes. It is not always in the form of desire only it comes. It puts also on various other dresses. The other garb of the same thing is called krodaha. The other dress of the same problem is called krodha or anger. How it happens when the desire is fulfilled? I wanted this. It got fulfilled. No problem at all. If it is not fulfilled, what happens? I get wild. The anger is directly proportional to the extent of desire. How much desire I have, so much anger I have. So that's because if I don't get it. So Krishna says, yeshaha kamaha, yeshaha krodaha. Yeshaha means this. He doesn't say this kama and that krodha. He says this kama and this krodha. Same one. They are not different. This yeshaha kamaha, yeshaha krodaha. Same pronoun he uses. It was this kama and this krodha. It is not this kama and that krodha. Okay? Because they are not different. They are one and the same. So he says, it is not this kama and that krodha, but one and the same problem. When directed towards the objects of desire, it is called kamaha. directed towards objects of desire. When directed towards objects of problem, it is called krodha, anger. So anger and desire are same emotions only, but in two different directions. They are the same problem only in two different directions. Actually this will become another emotion also later. If kama is fulfilled, it becomes krodha. If kama is not fulfilled, it becomes krodha. If kama becomes fulfilled, it becomes lobaha. Greed. It's that third quality. When you get whatever you wanted, then you want more. That is greed. When you don't get what you want, then it becomes anger. Sometimes it will become also fear also. Fear also is offshoot of the same thing. When you don't get what you want, upon people with whom you can get angry. On those you cannot get angry, with your boss you cannot get angry. He didn't give you a promotion. You cannot get angry with him. So he stopped even this increment which you normally get, whatever 1%, 0.5%. Even that he stopped. Then you are afraid now. This guy stopped even that. Maybe I may get the pink slip next. Always afraid. So a desire not fulfilled can lead either to anger or can lead to fear. A desire fulfilled may lead to lobha or greed. So these are all problems. So there's a sloka actually. Najatu kamaha kamanam upabhogena shangyatim habisha krishnavartmeva bhuyayeva abhivartate. Nobody has fulfilled the desire by enjoyment. You become addicted alone to that. You become addicted to that. That is why desire is compared here in this shloka to a fire. Fire. Krishnavartma means fire. Fire, what it does? You feed more, it wants more. You feed even more, it wants even more. Now all the seven tongues of the fire are all now extending in all directions. Give me more. That's what the nature of fire is. It is never satisfied. It is never satiated at all. That is how this person is. His greed drives him like a fire. That's why they compare this greed, this desire to a fire. That it is always this thing. So you always want to get more and more. So for example, the 9-year-old boy Nachiketas in Kathopanishad, what he says? He says in Kathopanishad, Yamadharmaraja wanted to give him this. He wanted Atma Vidya. But what Yamadharmaraja said? No, don't ask only that. Ask anything else, I'll give you. You want kingdoms, you want this, you want that, you want money, wealth, I'll give you all. Nachiketas says, no, I don't want any one of them. They don't mean anything to me at all. Even now, this is the truth of the entire creation is this. Because any amount of material wealth you give to somebody, that person is not going to be satisfied. He's going to be always asking for more. So, kama not fulfilled will lead to krodha. Kama fulfilled will lead to lobha. So, the kama, krodha and lobha are the three inner forces that are responsible for a person not to be able to follow this dharmic life and not to follow karma yoga. That is the answer Krishna is giving. So that allows a person to be forced not to follow adharma. Krishna has not told lobha explicitly in this shloka. He has told only kama and krodha. He has not told lobha. He is going to tell that in the 16th chapter later. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaham kama krodhas tata lobha. Tasmad yetatrayam tyajete. So you please renounce all these three. What are the three? Kama, krodha and lobha. Renounce all of them. These three are the doorways to what? Naraka. Doorways to hell. That's what Krishna says there. So in our Shastra, these three things are extremely condemned all the time. This is kama, krodha and lobha. We are never allowed to compromise with these three all the time. Okay. These are the three things now we have identified. Then what is the source for them? How these three things come? How kama comes? How krodha comes? How lobha comes? First thing, how kama comes? That is the fundamental thing. How desire comes? He says, rajoguna samudbhavaha. It is born out of rajoguna, the rajasic nature. That is why they will cover what it does. It covers sattvaguna. This rajoguna, the kama when it comes, it covers sattva guna, giving rise to this kama, krodha and lobha. Then a person's discriminative ability gets blinded because of these three, and then he will not see other people's difficulty at all. He will not see other suffering at all, and he will become very insensitive to everybody else's suffering because he is driven by his own selfishness. So they blind them. Actually, you know, we normally hear so many stories about parents kicking their own children. begets anger, they will break a bone. And who has to fix the bone? The same parent has to pay money to fix that bone. Right? He's so angry. He's, if you marry a woman, this woman will leaving 20, 25 years of parental life at home, as a very nice daughter comes to this guy, this Rakshasa. And this Rakshasa, in his anger, he treats her like what? And finally, who is going to suffer? He is going to suffer. So this is anger blindens people. So that's what they do. So it is all the problem in society is mostly driven by these three only. So thus a person can be made such an insensitive person because it will suppress the sattvic aspect, sattvic nature in him. When this kama krodha comes, they suppress the sattvic quality. So they can make a person insensitive. So mahashanaha. It is a great consumer. Mahashanaha means a glutton. It's an eater. So much goes on eating so much. It's like a glutton, you know. So here glutton means in sense pleasures. Here it's not food. In sense pleasures, this person goes on consuming sense pleasures. He enjoys any amount of sense pleasures. And still this person is not satisfied. Not only that, initially he wants to fulfill kama in a legitimate manner. First, he wants to work hard, make more money, desire, no problem. And his desire is even more, becomes greed. Then what it does? One wrong signature in the wrong place is not a problem. Only one signature. No problem. And after that, one signature becomes 10 signatures. 10 signatures become 100 signatures. All at wrong places. Corrupt. Person becomes corrupt. Kama, because it leads to greed. So, people try to, then they try to compromise and they try to justify themselves. Okay, no problem at all. So this is how this normally this corruption grows. This is how all these things, greed and all those things come. So he may even argue, no problem at all. This is Yuga Dharma. Kali Yuga, this is what happens. He's a philosopher. No? This is Yuga Dharma. In Kali Yuga, all these things are supposed to happen. So I'm not any different. I'm in Kali Yuga. He's a great Vedantin, you know. He will talk all those things. So initially, one will try to legitimately fulfill kama and later one will gradually go towards papa marga, towards sinful actions he will go through. Ravana had already, he has got so many wives, Still he wanted to go after Sita also. There is no need. So this example of kama is Ravana. And same thing, Duryodhana, he has so big a kingdom. What he did not have, he was the prince, he had everything. But still, he wanted to go to getting more wealth by playing dice game. A game of dice. A game which is other. So, he is an example of Loba. Duryodhana example of Loba. Ravana is example of Kama. So, each one, like a huge, all these great giants, they all fell at the end by a cyclone. They just fell in their lives. Because Duryodhana fell, Ravana fell, all these things, people fell in spite of their greatness. They were all great people. Ravana is a great scholar. As a Brahmana also, he is a great scholar. But he did not know everything he knew. But still, he went after this and he had to fall. So what one should do now? Enam vairinam viddhi. Arjuna, understand these three things. They are your vairis, your enemies. You understand that they are them, your enemies. Actually, he has, as I told again, Krishna has not mentioned the loba here. We have to supply. So, kama, krodha and loba, they are your enemies. Okay. So, even kama and krodha are only two expressions we have already taught. The problem is only one. Even though Krishna has not mentioned explicitly three, it's only one expression. Same thing. And where it is enemy? Is it when it is enemy? After I die? No. Iha, right now, in my karma marga. Karma marge. So, karma yoga marge. If I want to pursue karma yoga, in that marga, in that path, this is the enemy right now. It is not some enemy who is going to come later. It is right now, it is the enemy. If one wants to live like an animal, we have nothing to argue with him. Fine. Be whatever you want. But if you want to behave like a human being, you should avoid these three. Because then they will be your enemies in the path of karma yoga. That's what Krishna says. So if you want to be a decent human being, you have to grow mature and ultimately become a divine person walking on earth. If you want to become that, then you have to renounce these three. You have to renounce means you should have them under check, under control. You should have them. So if you are ambitious, like as a great person I want to be, then the person has to put effort to keep these things under check. So Krishna says, "Iha," in this Karma Yoga Margena, these are all your enemies in Karma Yoga Marga. Dumena vriyate vannihi.
Dumena vriyate vannihi. Dumena vriyate vannihi.
Yatadarsho malena cha.
Yatadarsho malena cha. Yatadarsho malena cha.
Dumena vriyate vannihi. Yatadarsho malena cha.
Dumena vriyate vannihi. Yatadarsho malena cha. Dumena vriyate vannihi. Yatadarsho malena cha.
Yatolbena vruto garbha.
Yatolbena vruto garbha. Yatolbena vruto garbha.
Tatate nedamavrutam.
Tatate nedamavrutam. Tatate nedamavrutam.
Yatolbena vruto garbha. Tatate nedamavrutam.
Yatolbena vruto garbha. Tatate nedamavrutam. Yatolbena vruto garbha. Tatate nedamavrutam.
So what does this karma do? This karma desire, what does it do? Krishna now wants to talk more about the problem of desire, karma here. So it's like an analysis of karma, we can say. What is its nature? What are the damages that it can do to people? What is its power? What are its strengths? What are the weaknesses? What is the solution for karma? Krishna wants to analyze all of them. So he does not deal with krodha separately. Even though he said kama yesha, krodha yesha there, he is not dealing with krodha separately. Because if kama is taken care, krodha is automatically taken care. So that's what Krishna says. Because different, desire is what? It's only a different dress. Kama, krodha, both are all same only. That's what we saw earlier. So Krishna says, what does desire can do? That's what Krishna says. It is like a disease. It is like a disease, like an AIDS disease. Not any disease, like an AIDS disease. What the AIDS disease does, it attacks one's health, kills the defense system. It attacks the defense system of one's health. That's what this AIDS does. Or the immunity system. That's what it does. So it's a very peculiar disease which attacks directly the immunity system. So once the immunity system is gone, what can happen? Any disease can enter into that person because immunity is gone. So anything can enter into that person. It is like killing the god. There's a god there. So you kill the god, anybody can enter. So that's what he does. So similarly, we are able to guard against all evils because of what? Because of our Viveka Shakti. Because of our discriminative ability, we are able to guard ourselves from all evil things. We know that will cause me bad things. This will call me calm. So we understand that, and that is why we are able to discriminate and we are able to avoid. But this, what this does, karma does, it hits that very ability to discriminate. The Viveka Shakti itself, it hits. So that is why a person harms oneself. It is like father hitting his own child and later spending money on his own, the same thing. So what happened at that time? The discriminative ability is gone. He doesn't understand what he is doing because the krodha, the anger, completely covered his Viveka Shakti. So tena idam avritam. Tena means kamena. Kamena, by that kama, by that desire, idam jnanam, this discriminative power, avritam, covered. So by that desire, this discriminative knowledge is covered by that kama. And for this covering, in this shloka, Krishna gives three examples. What are these three coverings? One is, just as the smoke covers the fire. That is one example. And second example is, just as the dust covers a mirror. Second example. And the third example is, just as the womb covers the child. This is the third example. The child is not seen as long as the child is in the womb, mother's womb. Now in the first example, the smoke, what is the nature of smoke? You can just blow it off. You can just blow the smoke away and you can see the fire. So smoke can be easily removed in that case. So only we have to blow a little bit. It's not a big problem, solid problem. So it covers the flame a little bit. Only we have to fan a little bit, then the fire will be exposed. So vannihi, vannihi means fire. Vannihi dumena, dumena means by smoke. Avrataha, covered. So as the fire is covered by the smoke. And the second example, the dust is not, it will not go away that easily. It has settled on the mirror. So when the dust is settled on the mirror, adarshaha means mirror. Adarshaha. And malena cha, malena means malam, means dirt. So tata avriyate, so it is enveloped. Avriyate means again it is covered or enveloped. As the mirror is covered by this dust. So we may have to use a little force to remove this dirt. Sometimes you may have to scrap it, sometimes you have to wash it, all that things you have to do. A little cloth sometimes may be able to wipe, sometimes you may have to apply more pressure, some cases we may have to use a wet cloth, all these things are possible. So still some cases may be even more force may be used. So that is all possible. You may be able to remove that dust and expose the mirror. And the third one is what? The womb covering the child. And what is that in the peculiarity of this example? Garbaha. Garbaha means the embryo. Garbaha. Ulbena. Ulbena means by the womb or the placenta. Tata avriyate is enveloped. As the placenta envelops the embryo. So there, what is this difference between this and the other two examples? In the other two examples, you can blow the smoke. In the other one, you can clean the mirror. Here, what you have to do? You have to wait for 10 months. There is no shortcut. If you want to see the baby, you have to wait for that. Only time alone can cure this problem. The person has to go suffering. There is no choice. The person has to get dents in life. He has to be kicked here and there in life because he doesn't learn. It is so bad. He has to be kicked here and there. He has to suffer. He has to go through all the difficulties before knowledge comes to him one day. Oh my God, I should not have gone through this. I should not have done this. He has to realize himself after going through the test of time. Okay. So that is why Krishna chooses these three examples to show the different grade of people, different extent of karma in people, which can be removed either slightly easily or slightly harder, or they have to wait for the time to advance. So according to the level of maturity of a person, three examples are given. So in a relatively mature person, a little bit of karma is there. That is true. Some teaching may be enough. You tell him, no, don't have karma. It will lead to greed and all that thing. Fine. Because he is already a mature person. But for some reason he had this desire. It can remove. In slightly less mature people, you may taunt him a little bit. You know, one or two experiences maybe he has to get in life. He will be fine. But in very mature cases, they require a lot of kicks. Here and there in life, and so many dents in life, all those things they have to go through. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. It may not be in one life, it may be in several lives perhaps before they would understand this thing. So time alone can cure them. Okay. So the first example, dhuma, the smoke, and the fire is for mild people, where karma is not intense. The second example is a little bit stronger karma. People have some more desire. The third one is for extreme cases where we have to wait for time only to cure. And there is also another beauty in the three examples. First example, the smoke covers the fire itself. That's what is said. So smoke is what? Smoke is karma, and the fire is the discriminative power. So my Viveka Shakti is the fire and the karma covers it. That's the first one. So Viveka is the brightness of the intellect. So just as the fire is bright, capable of illuminating the right from wrong, our buddhi is like the fire, capable of discriminating dharma and adharma. From this, what do we understand? Discriminative power need not be acquired by us. It is already there. Discriminative power is already there. It is only covered. So we should put an effort to remove the discriminative power. That cover only, discriminative is already there. Like a flame is already there. It is only covered. So smoke, remove the smoke, it will be now seen. So the brightness need not be produced when fire is already there in the thing, but it is only clouded. Similarly, everyone has got a natural Viveka Shakti. It is not something you have to go and buy it from somewhere. Everybody has got it. Only thing is it is covered. We have to make effort to remove the covering only. Tatha, thus, idam, this knowledge, Viveka Shakti, tenaha, by that karma, avritam, covered. It is covered by that. Or the rajoguna covers the sattva guna. We can say it that way. The rajasic attitude and maybe tamasic attitude, both, they cover the sattva guna. As rajoguna is reduced, you reduce the rajoguna, then the sattva guna becomes prominent. when because it has covered, you reduce rajoguna more and more, the sattvaguna becomes more prominent. And what is the nature of the second example? Second example, the buddhi is compared to a mirror. Because here adarshaha is mirror, buddhi is compared to a mirror. It's a very beautiful example. Buddhi is a mirror, like a mirror, capable of reflecting the atma, the chaitanyam. It is capable of reflecting the chaitanyam, which is called atma jnana, self-knowledge. But even though buddhi is there, atma is there, still the presence of atma is not known to me. I do not understand the presence of Atma. In fact, every thought, the Chaitanya is reflected. Any thought that we have, Chaitanya is reflected in that, but still we are not able to notice it because the Buddhi mirror is now dirty. The Buddhi mirror is now dirty with unwanted thoughts, unwanted vrittis, like Kama vritti, Krodha vritti, all those things, unwanted vrittis are there, and they have made this mirror very dirty today. Unless they are removed, it cannot be seen. So, what is required is what? It's not the production of Atma reflection. There is no need for it. It's already there. It is, but the removal of the dust alone is needed. Removal of this karma desire. So, even the dust becomes thinner and thinner, it becomes brighter and brighter. So, any amount of effort to reduce this covering, that will help us to make the mirror brighter, look brighter. So, when it is completely wiped, then it is very, very bright. So, the example indicates the intensity of the karma, desire, and accordingly, the sadhana, how much effort one has to do, that also has to be different based on the maturity of the person. In some cases, a little bit thinking is adequate. In some other cases, maybe some punishment is needed. In some other cases, only time has to cure them. That is why, you know, many times we always say, you know, the Narayana has got four hands. In the four hands, he has got four different things, right? He has got a conch, he blows it. So that, you know, people will, he has a lotus. The lotus, he wants to try to give you buddhi. You don't listen. Then he blows the conch to warn you. No, you got, awake. You don't listen. He has got a gada to hit you and at least now wake up. You are still fast asleep. He has no other choice. He has got the chakra to deploy. That's it. His person is gone. So the god has got all these four. He tries all these methods to make sure that this guy will come around. If he doesn't still follow that, God cannot help. So even God cannot help that person in spite of his own trying to help him. Indriyani mano buddhi.
Indriyani mano buddhi.
ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరిణా ఆవృతం జ్ఞానమేతేన జ్ఞానినో నిత్య వైరిణా కామరూపేణ కౌంతేయ దుష్పూరేణ అనలేన చ కామరూపేణ కౌంతేయ దుష్పూరేణానలేన చ earlier a little bit here, he says the wisdom, the knowledge is enveloped by desire. Knowledge is already, we have seen that. Avritam means covered. Avritam, jnanam, yetena. Wisdom. Wisdom, jnanam is wisdom. Wisdom is covered by this desire and which is a nitya vairi. Nitya vairi is a constant enemy. It is not a vairi that you just, it's a momentary vairi. No. It is a constant vairi. Nitya vairi na. And it is in the form of kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. which is insatiable, which cannot be quenched at all, like fire. The more you put into that, the more it is going to consume. See, this we saw that earlier. I already explained that earlier. So this is the thing which is, kama is such a desire, is such a, like a fire, which can never be satiated at all. So the more you put things into that, more it wants, more it is going to consume. And it is a nitya vairi. It is not an enemy which is a momentary vairi. Something, you know, that can be problem at that time. And after that it will go. This is not like that. This is permanent because it is leading to so many other factors. Kama leads to krodha. Krodha leads to moha. All those things. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsaryas. All these six internal enemies. These are all leading to the same problem. So unless you remove this desire, this is the source of all problems. So it is compared here to a fire. This purena, analena cham. It cannot be satiated. That's what Krishna says again, which we saw that thing in the natural area. Indriyani mano buddhihi.
Indriyani mano buddhihi. Indriyani mano buddhihi.
Asya adhishtanam uchyate.
Asya adhishtanam uchyate. Asya adhishtanam uchyate.
Indriyani mano buddhihi. Asya adhishtanam uchyate.
Indriyani mano buddhihi. Asya adhishtanam uchyate.
ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनम्
ज्ञानमावृत्यदेहिनम्
ज्ञानमावृत्य देहिनम् So now on Krishna says how to destroy that kama, that enemy. How are you going to destroy it? He is going to discuss that. Because we have now established kama is the enemy up to now. Kama is the fundamental problem. The question is how to destroy it totally. It is like a war. War against what? Against kama. War against kama. It is not an easy job at all. Because it's a very, very full-fledged war. It's very difficult to destroy kama. Because it troubles not once or twice. But ever since we got buddhi, it has been right from the childhood, it has been always destroying us. Till we die, it is going to harass us. That's what the problem is. It is a nitya vairi. That's what we saw in the previous sloka. It is a nitya vairi now. So war against the enemy, what are the strategies one has to adopt to kill this enemy? This is called kamaha, which is a nitya vairi. To destroy an enemy, what are the things we should do? We first ask the question, whether we should attack or not. We normally say that we should attack. But Shankaracharya says, he writes all this, actually he gives so many steps in doing this. We should not straight away attack the person. We should not straight away go and attack him. If I say, okay, I want this one, then, but Sugriva did, he just jumped onto Ravana's chariot to kill him. It doesn't work. He got hit back and he was thrown away. It doesn't work. So, normally, what they do? We are looking at where are the concentrations of enemies are there. What are the strength of the enemies? So, you need a spy satellite to go and find out where the enemies are located. And what are their strengths? What are the things, weapons they have? What are the assets that planes, war planes, weapons, all those things you need to do. So, a spy satellite, where you should go, open the fire, all those, there are so many steps in that. So, where does the strength of kama remain? We have to understand that first. We should find out. And Krishna points out three places where kama is potentially there. So, see, we are just, you know, saying that desire is just a word. You know, how much Krishna analyzes and how much Adi Shankara takes him to explain that. See, he says, he identifies them in three places as potential danger for kama. And what are they? First, Indriyani. Indriyani, the first place is the five sense organs. Indriyani. And what is the second place? Second base for kama is manaha, the mind. And what is the third base? Is buddhihi, the intellect. So these are the three places. Asya, adhishtanam, uchyate. Adhishtana means these are all the power centers or bases. So these are the indriyani, the sense organs, manaha, the mind, and buddhi, intellect. These are the three bases, power centers for this karma. And how do we say that these are bases? We have to explain that also. Adi Shankara may just, Krishna may say they are bases, but we should understand why they are bases, right? So on inquiry again we find out, the sense organs are the one, what they do, which report the presence of objects outside. We know of objects outside only because of what? Sense organs. If sense organs are not there, mind is not going to see what object is there. Only sense organs they find and they report. Okay, that's what they do. So karma cannot be developed unless first you see something or hear something or smell something or touch something. Karma cannot be developed to that at all. You have to interact with that. You have to first grasp that. So each of them report, each of the sense organs, they report the corresponding sense object. Eye will report the form of an object. Ear will report the sound of an object. So it will do all that. So each one will report the corresponding sense object. And actually every advertisement today is what? Is only making us to see, to hear all those things. They are dragging you. The moment you walk in the road, so many advertisements are there. They drag you. They are making you to see, hear and all those things. So this become, yeah, it's in the commercial yuga, it is very, very difficult to escape all this. Even if you don't want to do that, you will not, you cannot escape. They are all there. To sell an object, first what they do? They create karma in you. To sell any object, what the marketing professional does? He creates karma in you first. So the first enemy is the sense organs. Without them, nothing gets reported to the mind. And what is the second enemy? The job of sense organ, really speaking, is what? Is not to produce karma also. They are only reporting agencies. They just only report such and such things exist. So they are not still this thing for karma. They only report that such and such thing exists in life. You see all these things. The second collaboration for this should be done by what? By the mind. Mind has to collaborate with this. Because once the sense object enters through into the mind, through the sense organs, then what it does? It creates the first vritti, first thought. Aha, it is nice. It looks, it smells good. I like this tone. All these things it creates. So that vritti, that first sense, this vritti it comes in the mind. And once this vritti comes, it gets fanned. So this vritti is created, which alone is the job of the sense organ. Sense organ does that thing. But what does the mind do? Mind goes on repeating that thought. Oh, this is really nice. This is really nice. Yes, yes. First thought is what? First thought is always the simplest thought. We already told earlier, Sankalpa. First thought is the simplest thing. You can wipe it off easily. But once it becomes repeated thoughts, the moment it becomes terrible emotion, then it becomes a very, very difficult thing to remove. So, the longest journey normally begins with what? The first step only. Even you may take this journey to moon, it is first step only that makes the journey to commence. So, when the sankalpa is getting rotated again and again, the first thought getting rotated again and again, it becomes karma. Until then, it is still not karma. So, sense organs only reported the thing. Mind went on fanning it, went on repeatedly thinking that. And that is a contribution of the mind. Okay. So in addition to the mind having already old instinctive desires, mind already has old desires, instinctive desires, vasanas are already there because of the purvajanma vasanas. We already have all those things, fundamental desires like food and all those things are already there. Along with this, the sense organs have added these fresh ones also to the mind. Okay. So the mind is the next enemy. Then comes the third one, which is the buddhi, which is the intellect. Once the sense organs have reported, if the mind does not repeat, it is fine, no problem. Because sense organs have reported, mind has not done anything, so it will just go away after some time. Once it goes out of sight, you will forget out of mind also. But suppose the mind gets it repeated again and again on that thought. Initially what it will say, oh it is nice. And later it will say, it's nice, worth having it. No problem at all, right? Then you think, life will be better if I have it. So you have already related to your own life. And what you say, I will be better. Then later, I should have it. And finally, without that, there is no life. So you go through this entire cycle. So if somebody lives without that, we think that person is foolish also. Look at this guy. In this world, this guy wants to be without all this. So we call that guy as a foolish person. So this is a kind of karma. Karma will drive a person. So, sankalpa being converted to kama. Sankalpa is the very first thought, converted to an inordinate desire. And once that stage has come, buddhi gets clouded. When that stage comes, without that there is no life for me. When that stage comes, buddhi gets clouded. It cannot judge things at all correctly. It judges things falsely. Already we have a weakness. Buddhi is already in the fundamental ignorance of the self. We don't understand our nature. So that is the fundamental ignorance. It is indiscriminate also. So thus buddhi becomes to make a false judgment and begins to even justify the mental weaknesses. So what it does? No problem at all. Yoga Dharma is like this. Buddhi will justify. All these things it will do. So buddhi contributes to kama in two ways. What are the two ways? One, it is making a false judgment out of ignorance. It doesn't know. Out of ignorance it makes a false judgment. It does not know that ananda is in atma. And so all attributes that ananda, it tries to attribute to ananda to various sense objects. That is the fundamental problem of buddhi. Buddhi does not understand ananda. My happiness is only on self. It does not depend on external objects. It doesn't understand that. So that is number first one problem. So it thinks I will be happy only when certain external conditions are fulfilled. That's what the buddhi thinks. That is the first problem. And second problem what it does is, once the mind has got association with something, I like this, I want to have it, without that life is not meaningful to me. And because of that association, the mind gets a weakness for that. Attachment, it develops more and more. It may be a thing, it may be a person, it can be anything by association. Once attachment develops, buddhi will try to justify that association. It will try to justify that association. Any addict, it may be an alcoholic or anything, he will justify his addiction. An alcoholic also will justify his addiction. Here, a burglar will justify his burglary. All these things will do because mind has gone to in that direction. So buddhi, by false judgment and false justification, it promotes kama. So these are the two ways by which buddhi promotes kama. So all these three forces, they collaborate as they are all big enemies. Okay. So Krishna says, yetaihi vimohayati yeshaha. Yeshaha here means kamaha. So yetaihi, these three forces, what are the three forces? The indriya, sense organs, mind and buddhi, intellect, all these three. Yeshaha, this kama, vimohayati. Vimohayati means deludes. They delude. They confuse the person and make him run here and there. It will not allow this person to sit quiet at all. He will always be striving for this and that and all that thing. It will go to any direction. And how does it delude? If the person is allowed to think, finished, no problem. So it clouds the intellect. It clouds the intellect. The thinking power is lost. The thinking power is getting affected for this person. So Krishna reminds, jnanam avritya. Jnanam avritya. By covering, avritya means covering. By covering jnanam, the discriminative power. Here jnanam means not the self-knowledge, the discriminative power. It will never allow this person to sit and think. Normally we say, hey, one step backward, take a step backwards and think. This doesn't allow that person to do that at all. It doesn't allow him to think. Maybe he may say, I will postpone it after my retirement, I will think. Dehinam. Dehinam means this jiva. Dehinam, this jiva, dehi, this individual, it is object of delusion. Object of delusion. So this desire, this kama, deludes this individual by veiling the discriminative power through these three sources, namely indriyas, manas and buddhi. Okay. So that means we have understood what are the base also. Now we are now discussing the nature of kama, right? So what are the base of kama? We have already seen. So what is the next job? We have identified the bases. Next job is to bomb them. We have to bomb the bases, right? Both. So bomb should be straight on the three centers, the only way to take care of the kama problem, right? And that is said in the next shloka. And you know the way how Krishna develops this knowledge, so methodic. You know how to approach. Even you know we may say normally you have to control desire, but it's very difficult. Just if you just make a statement, it makes no sense to anybody, right? So you have to now look at the fundamental way by which. So Krishna is very analytical in the way he goes. So first you recognize that it is vairi. First we have to understand that kama is an enemy. That is very difficult for a lot of people. How do you think karma is an enemy for you? Right? We think that karma is the one by which I get motivated. Desire motivates me. Desire makes me to progress. That's what we all think. True. When it is true, so long as you have karma under your control. When you have karma under your control, no problem. When you let the control to karma, you are not in control anymore, then it becomes a vairi. It is an enemy. So first to recognize karma is an enemy is the first step. Then we have to know why it is an enemy. It's not adequate just to say it's an enemy, why it is an enemy, and then find out what are the centers of this karma, through what agencies it acts, and fine thing is to attack that karma. Normally at 4:30 I will finish. Today I start 15 minutes. If you want, I can go 15 minutes, then we'll start. What do you want to do?
We can go.
We can go from the class or go.
15 minutes.
15 more minutes. Tasmat Pamindriya Indriyan Yadav.
Tasmat Pamindriyan Yadav. Tasmat Pamindriyan Yadav.
Niyamya Bharatarshabam.
Niyamya Bharatarshabam. Niyamya Bharatarshabam.
Tasmat Pamindriyan Yadav. Niyamya Bharatarshabam.
Tasmat Pamindriyan Yadav. Niyamya Bharatarshabam. Tasmat Pamindriyan Yadav.
Papmanam prajahihyenam.
Papmanam prajahihyenam. Papmanam prajahihyenam.
Jnana vijnana nashanam.
Jnana vijnana nashanam. Jnana vijnana nashanam.
Papmanam prajahihyenam. Jnana vijnana nashanam.
Papmanam prajahihyenam. Jnana vijnana nashanam.
So tasmat means therefore means wherefore, since indriyas, the sense organs, manas and the buddhi are the basis of karma, the desire, that the strong centers where the karma lies hidden. Therefore, attack indriyani. So Krishna says, adav indriyani niyamya. Adav means in the beginning, first. Niyamana means controlling, conquering, mastering. Winning over, all those things are a name. So first, win over or conquer, adav, in the beginning, what to conquer? Indriyani, the sense organs. And why do we say, first conquer indriyas and not buddhi or manas? We have to understand that also, right? Why should he ask us to first? Because we already told, indriyas are only reporting agencies. They are not doing any harm to me, they are just only reporting. Mind only tried to repeatedly think about it and buddhi lost its power to viveka. So why should we attack only indriyas? We have to see that also. Krishna, the two reasons are given here. One, in the development of karma, the first cause is what? Indriyas only. Indriyas only reported. If it does not report it, mind would not have repeated the thought. Indriyas only reported that because they have to report the object. That is their job. That's what they did. So if sense organs are not there and only mind is there, mind cannot develop any karma by itself. Because it doesn't see anything. Mind cannot report, because there is no reporting in the agency to that. There is no karma at all. Because to desire an object, the object should be first seen. Should be smelled, should be seen, should be touched, should be heard, all should be done. So, janati, icchati, etate. That is the sequence. Janati means the first it is known. First it is knows, then icchati. Icchati means what? It desires. First it is sees and then only it desires. And then only etate, it struggles to get it. Right? It puts prayatanam to get it. So this is the order. So the first contribution to karma is indriyas only. Sense organs are the first contributors to karma. So start from the indriyas. That is the first reason. And what is the second reason? Of these three, which are the three? Indriyas, manas and buddhi. The sense organ is the grossest equipment. If you see, between the sense organ and mind and buddhi, sense organ are in the grossest plane. Then mind is slightly subtler than that and buddhi is the subtlest. So to destroy the grossest is the easiest. To destroy the subtlest is the most difficult. So you start with the indriyas, which is the grossest. So it is an external equipment. All indriyas are external equipment. Eye is an external equipment. Ear, they are all external equipments. Whereas mind is an antakarna. It's an internal equipment. So external equipment you can destroy easily. So indriyas are the external equipment. So it is less subtler, it is grossest, so try to start with them. So subtler than the mind is a buddhi. So of these three, the grossest is the sense organ and subtlest is the buddhi. So actually this we have seen in Tattvabodha, I just outlined at that thing. So we have the annamaya kosha, manomaya kosha and pranamaya kosha and vijnanamaya kosha. So vijnanamaya kosha is at the buddhi level, much more interior. So, whenever we try to take control, we should start from the grossest one to start with. So, because controlling the grosser one is the easiest thing to do first. If not, we won't succeed. And if you don't succeed, we may develop what? Diffidence also. Because to control mind is very difficult. To control the sense organ is easier. So, if we strive to control mind, if we don't succeed, we will develop diffidence. We will say, oh, this is not possible to do. I will give up. Whereas this is easy to do that. So start with control of sense organs only. This is called Dhamaha. Control of sense organ is called Dhamaha. Right? Shamaha is control of mind. Mano Nigraha is called Shamaha. Indriya Nigraha is Dhamaha. So that's what Shastra says. So Krishna says, Adau Indriyani Niyamya. So the first step is what in spirituality is Indriya Nigraha. Or Dhamaha, or sense control. Indriya Nigraha, sense control. Without a person can never progress in spirituality at all. So we should do that. Then what is the later step? Krishna does not say it here. That we have to supply here. If first sense control has to be done, then it follows Manovigraha Nigraha, next has to be done. And Buddhi Nigraha also. Control over the thoughts. What thoughts you have. Actually in Bhagavatam, Krishna gives a list of what to see, what to read, what to eat. So many things. How to control, develop dhamma. How to control all these things. Krishna gives a list of items. What are the things you should read? Don't read all these yellow and all these kind of papers. You should read only things which will give you sattvic abilities. What are the things to hear? What are the association you should have? Krishna gives all that list. In the Uddhava Gita portion, he gives so many places. He gives all those things. So, how does it come about? Initially, I try to control the sense organs themselves from the field of temptation. When I see something, I get tempted towards it. So I tell my mind, don't get tempted on that. Because first you should do that. So I know what will provoke kama and krodha. I know. And it also cause depression in me, mostly by trial and error method. I do that. I can know that these are all dangers for me. I do not want to go near them because they may cause danger to me. They may cause harm to me. So I should keep away from them. Right? Because this is the... Normally people know, if you want to take katrika, bayangan, it may cause allergy to me. Don't take. Lot of fried food will cause acidity in me. Don't take. There is no point in taking fried food and then taking all these digins. No need. So avoiding fried food is the first step. That one can do. It's one's control. One can do that thing. So these are all avoidance of things. So I don't allow unwanted things to enter here. That is my first step. But this is not going to be possible all the time. That is also we have to be practical. All the time it's not possible. Because we cannot close our sense organs and walk on the road. Because when you go on the road, you have to keep your eyes open, ears open. You have to do all this, right? You cannot just walk. We cannot get away from society where people misbehave. Everybody doesn't behave all the time, all right. People misbehave. That is, you find all along, all the time. So, in spite of sense control, of course, unwanted things will enter. I don't want to see this, but it is right there. I cannot escape. All these advertisements are all there. They are all blasting so much. Even though I don't want to hear, they enter into my ears. They all come all the time. So, at the sensory level, I have not completely succeeded when some things enter. They enter. Without my asking, they enter. I cannot do anything about it. I don't want them, but they come. Then what should I do? The moment it enters, I should spot that it is not what is wanted by me. That recognition I should make immediately. This will create krodha in me. This will create kama in me. This will create this. All these things I should identify immediately. If you really look at all this, then we cannot lead a life at all. Because everything that you do, you may think, oh my God, I have to go through all this analysis and then see whether I should do this or not. But that comes out of an alert mind. That's what Krishna says. It should be a sattvic mind, it's an alert mind. The mind is so alert, it is immediately sensitive to what is acceptable to me, what is not acceptable to me. It is already alert. So we have to generate and develop an alert mind. We should be alert all the time, sattvic all the time. That's what it says. I should treat this as if it's an external body that is entering into me, some virus. I should think, oh, this is what is entering into me. Anything that bad, that is causing harm to me, I should treat it like a virus. That's external thing. It's like a cancer or some jaundice, some kind of a disease that is entering into me. I should treat it that way. That even though it is so tempting, it may be so nice, I should be able to treat it. So, jatamatram naya shatrum vyadimva na prasavam nayete ati pushtanga yukto abhim tapaschata tena ichyate. An enemy, the moment it is born, it has to be destroyed. If not, what will happen? Ati pushtanga yukto abhi, even the healthiest you are, the person, young man, very healthy person, no problem at all, even that person can be destroyed inch by this disease, if we are not alert. So the most important thing is cure. In cure, the disease should be spotted as early to be cured. For anything they say, it should be spotted as early to be cured. So at the mental level itself, never allow this to happen. Never allow this to happen. The kama krodham and the at the sankalpa level itself we should cut. The moment, because we cannot, as I told earlier, at the sankalpa level we cannot stop. Prarabdha will drive you to make that. So you will be in that situation, you cannot stop. But you don't fan it anymore. You cut it off and throw it away. So this is called mind control. I should be alert every moment. That is mind control. And then the third and most important thing is what? The control at the buddhi level. Buddhi level control. Control at the buddhi level is always in the form of what? Right understanding. Buddhi's ability is what? Proper understanding. So, right understanding, that has to be there. Buddhi is controlled only by knowledge and wisdom. Nothing else controls buddhi. Only knowledge and wisdom. So, as even we practice indriya nigraha, sense control, and manonagraha, mind control, shama, etc. We should practice them with understanding only. You should not do sense control because somebody said to do that. You should not do it because father made you to do that, mother made you do that. You do it by your own understanding. Yes, this is not good for me. I should understand. Father and mother initially might guide me. No problem. But I should understand it is not good for me. So it has to come. Because only anything comes out of understanding alone will stay with you forever. Otherwise, once the force of father and mother goes away, you will go back to the same route. So that is the problem.
Thank you, Mama.
And he sits still and listens, no problem. Right? So if buddhi does not have understanding, and if we practice shama and dhamma, sooner or later, it will become a tremendous suppression. As I told you, if you suppress, it is going to erupt some other place. Do not suppress. You have to control out of understanding. Only with understanding, we will be able to conquer them. And if I have no value for that, I will be practicing them as forced by somebody else. Or even Shastram. They may say, oh, Shastram forces me to do that. Up to some point. After that, you will also say, the Shastram is nonsense. I will do the way I want to do. That's what people will do. So, my mind will ask a question soon. Am I a fool to follow this nonsense? I have no faith in this at all. Why should I follow? So, why can't I lead a free life? Normally people say this free life, freedom, right? All kinds of restraints and controls. So, I have to. Why not I lead that life? We will ask all those questions. So, suddenly this question will arise and we will think that we are all wasting our times and wasting our life. People will tend to think if right understanding is not there. So we have to develop. That is the job of buddhi. Buddhi has to develop this right. So suppression should never be done. Initially to guide, people might use a little bit. But it should never be there fully. One has to understand by understanding only. That is why there is no shortcut for knowledge. You have to learn and we have to understand. If you don't do that, we will never learn. We think successful life is what? Becoming CEO of this and that, making so much money. We think that is success. Success. I'm not questioning that success. But are we also a total person along with that? That is success. Success is that. Success is measured about how contented I am. So that is the measure of success, not the amount of bank balance I have. How can that? Because that alone matters. All other things don't matter at all. So at the buddhi level, all judgments must be made with the right understanding. That is the most important. For the right understanding, scriptures can help us. Other people can help us. That is all possible. But right understanding. This alone is done by what? Vishayeshu dosha darshanam. The scholar's quality lakshanam is what? In all objects, he will be able to see the dosha. Because he knows dosha darshanam is a very important criteria. If you give something to a proofreading to some people, you may say, oh, everything is fine. This guy, when he reads it, he will find 100 mistakes. Not that he wants to find mistakes. His ability to find dosha is so alert, so sharp, that person can find it. So we should be able to see doshas in everything. And then only normally in India, when you buy diamonds, they look at dosha, the diamonds. So what is this dosha? The defects. A trained eye can see it very well. For others, it will be difficult. Everything will look like diamond. For him, he looks at the doshas. So that's possible. So this alone is done by this intellect. So intellect should come and say that by getting away from sense objects and sense pleasures, you are not losing anything. Intellect should be convinced of that. By getting away from these sense objects, you are not losing anything. You need not feel that you are missing something at all in life. This should say that. So it has to be nitya, anitya, vastu, vivekaha. That should be the job of buddhi. Okay. So that's what it does. So if buddhi can take care of viveka, then only the mind and the sense organs can practice vairagya. Vairagya is dispassion, shama, dama, all these withdrawals. That is why in the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti which we saw earlier, viveka must be there at the back as a support for all other things. Then only all the other qualifications like vairagya, shamadhi, shakta sampatti, all those things will follow. So control sense organs, the mind, and educate the intellect with right understanding. That is why in Kathopanishad, there's a beautiful comparison. Actually, this is a comparison Krishna is going to do later also. The physical body is compared to a chariot. Atmanam ratinam vidhi. So you understand that your body is like a chariot, and the sense organs are the horses for this chariot. The sense organs are the horses. They are pulling you in 5 different directions. And you are controlling them through what? The reins, that's the mind. So the guy who is the charioteer, he has the reins in his hand. And he is making sure the horses are all running towards the goal. And who is the driver, charioteer? It's the buddhi. The Atma. Intellect is the driver. So it's a very beautiful analogy. So the very direction of the chariot is determined by the horses. They may pull it in all directions. Similarly, the very life that any person leads is determined by what all things we see daily. Whatever you see here, whatever you hear, they all are orienting my direction. Most of the time, we spend time in front of a video or a TV or something like that or a book. They are all going to have a lot of impact in the way we orient ourselves. So the direction of our life are generally determined by these horses, which are the sense organs. And this direction has to be controlled by the rein, namely the mind. And the reins themselves are controlled by the buddhi, the discriminative ability, the viveka shakti. We should know what is the relative goal, what is the absolute goal, what is the final goal. We should know which is what is shreyas and what is prayas. Shreyas is what will give me the spiritual progress. Prayas is what is material progress. We should know all that. The mind, the buddhi should know all that thing. What will give me bandha, attachment? And what will give me moksha, mukti? You should know all that things. And buddhi should control the reins. The reins should control the sense organs. That is how life should run. So naturally, the life will be in the form of a karma yoga. For such a person, life will be like a karma yoga, the destination towards moksha. Destination for moksha. So minus that, life will be what? Life will be in the direction of kama, karma, pleasure, sukham, dukkham, all those things. The destination is what? Not moksha, but mrityu. Death. So that is how it will be, mortality, and it is not immortality. So that is how it will become. So Krishna strongly suggests that the sense control is the beginning for all sadhana. And we should not now ask how many days we should practice this. That question we should not ask, because we should practice all the time. Right? Because kama krodhas are so strong, the practice should be almost through the entire life. Even at the age of 90, the guy is going to now die. What he will say? Maybe I should have married that other woman. He's going to die in the next second. People are like that. What you can do? Because the Kama Krodhas are so strong, the practice should be almost every time. So not only that, once the person becomes successful, we cannot ask whether he can live in any way he likes. He's already successful. Why worry about it? Can we live in any way I can like? No. Because once we have practiced a well-disciplined life, a well-ordered life, even if someone says we can live freely, we will not like it ourselves. Now, all these, you know, the Jivan Muktas are there. They are all people who have already gone to moksha, reached moksha. They are all jnanis. But still they are going through all this anushtanam. Why should they do that? They don't have to do that. They still follow that. Because they are so habituated to us. If they don't do that, they think, oh, it's something, we should not be like this. It's an order. And it's order for others also. We already seen that Lokasangraha. We have seen that earlier. Right? So they still lead a controlled way of life. The non-alertness and right thinking, they become spontaneous in that person. That is most important. It is not acquired anymore. They are spontaneous in that person. One need not have to work for that. For a jnani, these are all spontaneous. For a mukshu who wants to gain jnanam, this is an effort. This is a sadhana. That's the difference. Right? For all others, it's a sadhana. For a jnani, it is spontaneous. It is natural to him. And wrong thinking becomes a burden for him. If he thinks something wrong, it's a burden, it acts on him. So he says, by this practice, what should Arjuna do? He says, yenam, by this sense, mind and buddhi control. Yenam, by this buddhi control, prajahi, you destroy papmanam, the sinful kama. Papmanam, here the sinful kama. Here papma refers to kama. So by this, you destroy this kama. The sinful karma you destroy by practicing this discipline. That's what you are supposed to do. Prajahi, actually, it can be split into two ways. Prajahihi, it says, we can either read it as prajahihi, together as one word, it means give up this. He means, or you put prajahi, prajahi means you kill, or samhara, he refers to emphasis. So you have to prajahi. He means you should definitely destroy. So you can put the other way. Both are okay. So jnana vijnana nashanam. Because it is the destroyer of both jnanam and the vijnana. So there is a subtle difference here. Jnanam and vijnanam, this is the destroyer of both. Jnanam means what? Jnanam refers to paroksha jnanam. I will introduce these two terms. One is jnanam refers to paroksha jnanam and vijnanam refers to aparoksha jnanam. So, for example, when we listen to, let us say, Brahman as Jagat Karana, or Brahman as Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, we hear all these things in Upanishads. Brahman means Jagat Karana, the cause for the entire world, both the instrumental cause and the material cause, all that thing we say. So, when we hear these statements, this Jnana, this knowledge that we gain by listening to these statements, it is called Paroksha Jnana. Okay? Then, our scriptures, what the scriptures say, that the Brahman, which is Jagat Karanam or Jagat Adhishtanam, is nothing but you, yourself, Tattvam Asi, it says. Right? Then that Jnanam is Vijnanam or Aparoksha Jnanam. So now you see the difference between that. So when somebody says, when Shruti says, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, about Brahman, then that is called the Paroksha Jnanam. And when the scriptures say, and I realize that Tattvam Asi, that is nothing but you, yourself, that is Aparoksha Jnanam. And when one knows that Brahman is the very subject, that is myself, that knowledge is aparoksha jnana. So both these jnanas, jnanam and vijnanam, are not possible at all if kama is there. So that is why you have to control kama. Therefore kama is called the destroyer of paroksha and aparoksha jnanam, or jnanam and vijnanam. Jnanam and Vijnanam, this is the difference. Jnanam, Vijnanam is not in the Rasayanam or chemistry or any of those. This is this one. So if you want these Jnanams, you should not allow Kama to remain in you. You should destroy Kama. And destroy all the bases, all the three centers. Yo Veda Dau Swaram Prabhu Vedante Pratishtitaham Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasam